Hello and welcome to M&IT Talks. I'm here with Laura Capalabra, the founder of Stress Matters. Laura, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
Oh, good. Now, I'm here to talk about stress, and it's just been Stress Awareness Week. And what can you tell me about that?
So International Stress Awareness Week is an annual event that happens about this time every year, and it's hosted in essence by the International Stress Management Association. So they're the kind of governing body which try and educate and empower people to understand their relationship with stress and how they can improve that so they experience less stress. So as Stress Matters, we're obviously very closely aligned in terms of ISMA's approach. And it's really important for us that when there are events such as International Stress Awareness Week, that we are supporting that. So clearly we are big believers of understanding your stress and looking after your own mental health and well-being at all points in the year. But I do think when we do have kind of days like this or weeks like this, it's actually a really good opportunity just to highlight the message again with people about how important it is to focus on their mental health.
Now more than ever, presumably, as well, because it's quite stressful out there at the moment, it's fair to say.
Yeah, it is. And the, you know, what's really sad is when we're probably kind of underestimating at the moment the impact it's having on people's mental health in terms of the pandemic. So some research that has happened over the last kind of 4 or 5 months is that it's anticipated that depression in adults has doubled over the period of the pandemic in the UK. And that was based on data of a few months ago. So I'm very kind of suspicious. Actually, I think that's probably going to have increased quite a lot with this extended period, particularly in our industry that we're experiencing, where, yes, a few months ago there was uncertainty and we were living kind of under lockdown measures and we were, you know, not having that connection with our friends and family. But actually, if you then fast forward a few months to now, that's all likely to happen again anyway, in terms of lockdown and the fact we don't know when we're seeing our friends and family, depending on what part of the country we're in. And also that kind of, again, lack of certainty about when the industry is going to come back again. So I actually think the kind of the doubling, I would not be surprised if that has increased even more by, say, this time next year, in terms of the impact that the pandemic has been having on everybody's mental health, for different reasons, of course, but it is having a huge impact.
It's hidden at the moment, it's fair to say, is what you're saying there.
Yeah, I think so. I think at the moment, a lot of people are just on that kind of just survival mode of actually, we just need to kind of get it through and we'll just get through to the end of the year and we'll just do this and we'll just keep going as long as we can. And I think at some point, naturally, fatigue is going to kick in. And a lot of us that have been on high adrenaline, on high kind of effort to really kind of keep ourselves motivated, keep ourselves passionate about what we're trying to do, we are, if we haven't already, going to have, you know, points where we don't feel good. And so actually, most of the people we've been speaking to over the last kind of 7 or 8 months over things like the support line and buddies program and support circles, all of these different things, actually, people generally have had a bit of a roller coaster of time. So sometimes it's great, you get to be at home with your family, you know, other and get, you know, get spend more time doing things at home for some people, but other people, it's been a really, really awful period and awful kind of time for them. And I think whether or not you're having a good time or bad time, it is that bit of a roller coaster. And I think going forward, we're going to probably see that extended out a little bit longer, that some people have kind of adapted to what their life is going to be like. And I think some people are about to have a lot more change in terms of things like redundancies and businesses not being able to continue. And that's going to obviously have then another line in the sand and kind of change in the way people can see things.
In terms of how people are affected, I think you just touched on it there. Kind of everyone's affected in lots of different ways. And how are people dealing with this? I mean, in terms of the people that speak to you through Stress Matters?
In lots of different ways, as you'd imagine. So some people, probably it's safe to say, aren't dealing with things very well, which is why they're reaching out to us. And some people who we kind of obviously speak to over a period of time are learning to look after themselves a little bit better. So what we call kind of self-care, but also understanding what we would again refer to as coping strategies. So when things are really tough, what do we do for ourselves to make ourselves feel that bit better and reduce that pressure or reduce that stress we're experiencing? So some people as you say, are actually in a really good place right now. They're, you know, they're having a lovely time. They're having a great time with their family. They're not traveling around so much. They love being in their home environment. And actually the stress is relatively low. We all know, and there's been lots of kind of press out there, that actually your kind of home environment, if you're living with people or not living with people, and your relationship with those people, can have a real dramatic impact on your well-being, and therefore the kind of stress you're experiencing. But of course there's that kind of life side, but there's all this work stuff that's going on around us as well, and a huge amount of pressure. And I think lots of people trying to deal with how to kind of cope with that. Some people, I think, are just ignoring it and just trying as much as they can to pretend it's not happening, because for them, kind of that blinkered approach works if they're still in a role and they can do that. Right. But for obviously many people, that's not physically possible, because they probably lost their jobs or their hours have been reduced. So you can't just pretend it's not happening. Mm. And those people we are finding are struggling a lot, because obviously there's financial uncertainty as well. So if you don't know where your place is in the industry at the moment, because you don't have a role, I've said before that actually when you're an event professional, you're often very, very passionate about that role. We do it because we love it, and it becomes part of your identity. So if you don't have a role, it can feel that identity has been taken away from you. And if you don't know when that role is going to come back, or when the next opportunity will kind of come around because of when the event industry is going to restart, it's really hard to put coping strategies in place if you're constantly waiting for things to happen and not being in control of that. And I think, you know, the basics of how people can kind of cope with things, you're thinking about tips and techniques wise, then actually, you know, it is about self-care. It's about thinking about what makes you feel happy, what makes you feel calm. Is it going for a run or going for a walk, reading a book, talking to friends? That's one of the reasons we set up the support circles, was to have that environment where you could come and talk or listen with people. And the same with the Buddies program, the idea being that actually you could just speak to somebody else in the industry who might be going through something similar to you, and have that support. So people cope in different ways, and I think the ways people cope also have changed over the last kind of 7 or 8 months as well, because, you know, we might have been quite resilient at the beginning and might be struggling a little bit more now.
One of the main things about the pandemic in the last 7 months has been how quickly everything has changed. I mean, like, things can change day to day, week to week, and you can be up and down and all over the place. But I suppose one thing is that people have been through so much, and if you are bottling it all up, it's got to come out at some point, hasn't it?
Yeah. And that's what we would say is, we tend to use the word stress signature. And the reason I like the word stress signature is because the way it kind of, it comes out, as you said there, is unique to each of us. So there's kind of a tipping point where you can kind of accept a certain amount of stress. And particularly in events, we're used to pressure, we're used to deadlines. So we can accept a certain amount of pressure on us, and a certain amount of stresses, whether or not that's work or deadlines or family or finance or health, whatever it is, we can accept a certain amount. But unfortunately, there is a point, as you say, when that tips over, and then what happens to individuals is very unique. So that's why we kind of call it a signature. So for some people, for example, for me, the beginning of my stress signature is me waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I know that I'm absolutely fine. If I start waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning, there's something that's causing me stress. Now, it doesn't mean, I'm in a sudden panic mode. It just means there's something playing on my mind that I'm not comfortable with. And then there's the rest of my stress signature that happens. So then there's other symptoms, that other ways of essentially our body telling us, you're in a kind of period of stress right now. You need to look after yourself. So what happens is we have all of these little symptoms and signs from our body. And then what can happen if we ignore all of those signs when we've really tipped over is we can hit burnout. And that I had that experience when I was in my mid-20s. And if I'm completely honest, I've probably had it this summer, or very, very close to it at points this summer, where it's just I've really kind of gone to the very end of my stress signature, and thankfully have some good coping strategies in place now where I can kind of pull myself back. But that tipping over looks very different to different people. And I think quite often people think that they must be okay or they must not be okay because of what somebody else does and how somebody else copes with stress. And I think it's really important to accept and acknowledge that we each have different unique reactions to stress, and we can each take different levels of stress as well. And it doesn't mean it's a good or a bad thing. It's just actually acknowledging that we're each different and that we each have different things that cause us stress, each have different reactions to stress, but each therefore have different ways of coping with stress as well.
I mean, specifically in the event industry, event professionals, how much of a difference do you think it would make if there was a restart date and we knew when things were coming back? Do you think that would change things?
Yeah, I think it would. I think if we look back to pre-October the 1st, when we had that deadline date, or before it got moved, obviously, there was a sense of enthusiasm, a sense of motivation. It was about actually, right, you know, even look at things like project confidence. It was actually, right, what we're focusing on now and building confidence. And now we've actually had to tweak that again and go, hang on, we're into recovery mode. So we need deadlines, especially in our industry. We're so used to working deadlines. When we know that there's a date. So for example, when we had that previous date and, you know, hopefully when our date kind of comes back around, it gives us something to work towards. And it means that we know that there's a line in the sand and there's an end point. And I think where a lot of people can find it really, really hard is when they just don't know when it's going to end. It's really hard to make plans. It's really hard to keep going if you haven't got that date. If you think about when you're just generally, you know, pre-COVID world, when we used to go on holidays throughout the year, you know, quite often you'd be really, really busy at work, but that holiday would be the thing that kept you going. You'd be like, I've just got to keep going 2 more weeks, 3 more weeks till that holiday, or I've got 1 more week until that event and then it will be okay. And we're very used to putting dates in our diary of when things can change and when we'll let them change. And at the moment, we just don't have that date. So it's really hard for us to know when things are going to change.
Mm. And I suppose at the moment, the date everyone is working towards is Christmas, as ever, but Christmas is going to be very different this year. And presumably that's going to kind of have an effect on our mental health as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We're speaking to quite a lot of companies at the moment who are seeing a lot of kind of, I suppose, demotivation in the team. There seems to be this kind of bit of a slump happening at the moment where, and not just in the events industry, this is kind of a bit more widespread than that with other clients, but there definitely seems to be a bit of a phase where, as exactly you said, we're working towards Christmas, but we now know that nothing's going to change before Christmas. So it's this kind of weird sense of there's nothing to look forward to before Christmas because it's not going to change and actually just more like to go into kind of stronger lockdowns. And yes, we might hopefully be doing some more virtual events, but it's not going to dramatically change what happens. And because we don't know what we're going to be able to do over Christmas in terms of seeing friends and family, for example, it again puts that pressure on the fact that, oh, it's not going to be how I want it to be. Normally I'd be really excited about it, but it's going to be rubbish because I'm probably not going to be able to see my friends and family. So people are experiencing this bit of a slump. And so a lot of the companies that we're working for, which is good for the events industry, is they're actually focusing on how they can really up the level of kind of Christmas cheer this year. So where I think everybody's kind of gone, oh, Christmas party's off, quite a lot of the people we're speaking to are going, well, yes, the party is off, but we need to do loads of engagement, kind of virtual events to keep everyone's motivation level up, because Christmas can be a hard time. And particularly with this year, we don't know whether or not people are going to be on their own for an extended period of time over Christmas, whether or not they're going to be able to see friends and family, and also what it's going to look like on the other side as well. And I think you're completely right that, you know, we're working towards that deadline, but not necessarily in a positive way. I think actually we're just kind of trying to survive quite a lot until Christmas.
We'll get to Christmas, and then what's on the other side of that? We'll just have to play it by ear, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think January is going to be a really tough time. I think that's one of the times at Stress Matters we're kind of very conscious of is January, in the sense that January historically is always they kind of talk about it being a less good time for our mental health, if there can be a certain time across the year in terms of our mental health, because the experiences people might have had over Christmas with spending time with friends or family that they maybe don't get on with, or cause them quite a lot of anxiety, whether or not they've been alone and experienced depression, for example. It's historically as well one of the reasons why we see a lot of job changes in the new year as well. So January can be quite a hard month for a lot of people. Again, you've got things like financial reasons, for example, if you've kind of overspent in Christmas. And I think with this year in particular, I'm really conscious that January is potentially going to be really tough really, really tough for a lot of people. So we're really keen to kind of make sure that we can help people as much as we can, particularly in January, where normally it's a bit of a rubbish month for some people anyway. But I think this time, particularly with all the changes and the redundancies, it's going to be a little bit amplified this year.
Is there anything we can do to prepare ourselves for that, even the smallest little thing? I don't know if there's anything you'd suggest.
I think the thing we can focus on most at the moment is our self-care. And I know it sounds really small and really basic, but it's what builds our resilience. So the more we can put our health and well-being first, the more we can make sure we feel as happy as we can every single day, the more resilient we become. And the more resilient we become, the more we can take setbacks. The more, so resilience is about kind of bouncing back from adversity. And you know, we don't know what's going to happen the other side. We don't know what's going to happen in January. But actually, the more resilient we can make ourselves, the more chance we have of kind of tackling anything in a good state of mind that's coming our way. So the more we can focus on our own self-care, understanding ourselves. And I think a lot of people over the last how many months have gone through a bit of personal development kind of journey and started to understand what's important to them and what's not. And I think actually really focusing on, if you feel better in the day after you've gone for a walk, make sure you go for that walk every single day without fail. If you're the kind of person that you get off the phone to your mum and you've got a massive smile on your face, make sure you speak to your mum to keep you on top of things. But of course, if it goes the other way and you don't come off the phone speaking to your mum with that big smile on your face, then limit how much time you speak to that person. So it's really about understanding how you feel at different experiences, you know, whether or not you listen to music and it makes you feel good, or read a book or meditate, for example, or do some yoga, whatever it is. It doesn't matter what those coping strategies are, is what do we do to cope? What makes us feel good? And the more of those things we can build in now, we've then got a good however many months before or weeks before the new year, we'll be even more resilient. So we're building up our well-being and building up our resilience, which means, yeah, whatever's going to kind of come the other side of Christmas, we'll hopefully be that little bit more prepared to deal with, because we'll feel that bit more resilient and confident.
Brilliant. Well, that sounds like a good positive way to leave it there. Thank you very much for joining me, Laura. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having us.